Live from the bowels of hell, this is The On Show. All right, folks, man, here we are, man. I'm doing some squats today on a beautiful, beautiful spring day, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is The On Show. I'm the Schmooze Master, always speaking of un, no dogmas or isms, because I don't give a shit. And I'm not the only one who doesn't give a shit. I'm here with my partner in crime, Dobie Maxwell.
I haven't given a body fluid since the Reagan administration.
Man, unbelievable. Really.
It's documented.
You used to be as big as donor, too.
Biggest. Shit, piss, saliva, smegma, whatever you got.
I used to love that band, the Smegmatics.
The Smegmatics with Wendy O. Williams?
Yeah, Wendy O. Williams. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I love when they were on Second City with Gil Fisher, the fishing musician played by John Candy. And he had a fishing show. And in the middle of the show, he'd bring on celebrity to perform, bands and musicians. And they had the Wendy Williams and
The Plasmatics
playing. And then after they play, before they would play, they would be out fishing with Gil Fisher. And then he'd have them in the cabin doing a panel thing. And then they would play. How funny is that?
Was it really the Plasmatics?
Yes, really the Plasmatics.
Okay.
Isn't that funny?
So she played along, Wendy O.
She was
not a dumb person.
No, she wasn't a dumb person, but not much of a musician. Not much.
I don't think they had anything to do with it.
But she had some cans, though.
She committed suicide.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, you're kidding me. What happened to the tits?
She left them. She donated them to science.
Not to be mercenary.
What do you mean?
I'm saying, you know, I know she passed away, but come on. Priorities.
Yeah, I think she donated them to science.
Her titties.
They're now, I think, the Philadelphia Phillies use one of them as a spring training dome.
Wow, Wendy O, man.
Yeah, she wasn't very old. A lot of those punkers don't end well.
No, they don't.
You know Gigi Allen? You know who
that
is?
Yes, the great Gigi Allen.
The great Gigi who...
Yes.
Hurled manure as feces at the audience.
Right, he was doing that tribute to Coco the gorilla at his show.
Yeah, so he got a big steaming ball of shiza, and he threw a slider to the audience, and they all ducked. I met Gigi.
Yes.
He's a troubled soul, man. I mean, I consider myself a dented can.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the comedians that I meet and people that are just I can bond with those people, man. I know where they hurt, and I can talk to them. There's just a vibe and a feeling. And I really like Gigi Allen. I really did. We talked for probably 35, 40 minutes. I was doing a morning radio show in Milwaukee, and he was up overnight with the overnight guy. And you could tell he had a real kind of a tough exterior, but I got past that in about 5 minutes, and he really opened up, man. I really liked the guy.
So what did you ask him? What was the big question for him?
Well, just talking about, you know, why you're doing it, what are you trying to prove? Because it was a censorship thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you draw the line where you can hurl manure at people, your own fecal matter? Anything should go? Can you shoot people, bring people up on stage?
I think if I'm going to take a face full of steaming hot poo, I think I should at least know that. I should say that in the program.
Or at least get a T-shirt.
After. I took Gigi Allen shit to the face.
Right. I mean, some woman...
And I needed that T-shirt about 5 minutes later to wipe it off.
Yeah, some woman, some young idiot chick on a video went there so she can get clubbed by him by trying to, you know, scale the stage. She wanted to get hit by the mic stand by Gigi Allen.
See, this is a bad father job right there. You got a daughter, sit down and tell her she's pretty.
That's right. That's right, man.
Play dollies with her. Go to a tea party.
I mean, why are you attracted to that kind of entertainment? But it would be the same thing in comedy nowadays too. If you like Jim Norton, chances are something happened in your childhood that propelled you to want to hear stories about how when he was seven, and they're out in the woods, him and his seven-year-old buddy, and it started raining like crazy. A monster rain came. They ran to seek. Seek a cover, right? And what did they do when it was pouring rain? They blew each other. It's one of his bits.
Wow.
So I don't remember blowing my seven-year-old buddy, Neil, or
I never
Mike.
Happened that at any age.
Right. So anybody's going to go see a show, you got trouble somewhere down the pike. But that's where comedy's kind of splintered. You can get fed your particular bent or kink comedy-wise. So that's why I think you got this niche. We talked about this many times, a lot of niches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting weirder and weirder out there. I mean, today Tim Tebow's having his coming-out party in New York City, hopefully, his press conference for a backup quarterback now. He's going to be in New York. And that guy just completely blows my mind. Not his quarterbacking. That doesn't blow anybody's mind except the fanatics who love him and love his religiosity. But I just never thought I'd live to see the day where a guy who can't throw, has terrible mechanics, would never be on a pro team, is suddenly the toast of the town in New York City, and he's a backup quarterback, and he's having a press conference. It's crazy.
I think it mirrors society, though. He's the Kardashian of sports.
That's a good point. I think that's a great analogy. He is.
You know, disposable. I mean, 2 years from now, he won't even be on anybody's radar, you think?
I don't think he'll even be on Jesus' radar.
You don't think so?
He's giving me a bad name. I like to keep it on the, DL, man.
Keep it on the down low.
You know?
But the public fuels that. I can't believe he got traded at all. I mean, he might have been an NFL player as a running back or a tight end or maybe a safety or a linebacker. He's a pretty athletic player. But as a starting NFL quarterback, I agree, man.
That's a
tough sell. But I mean, they drafted him in the first round. There's some kind of vibe about him that makes people interested.
No, you're right. You're right. He's got the star appeal. He's got these this blank kind of look, these blue eyes, man. It's just weird. He's got a pansexual superstar look, like David Bowie. I mean, I hear he's a virgin still too, you know.
Wow.
And he told me his sexual fantasy is Virgin Mary.
He didn't say that.
He wants to be the first man to deflower her in the traditional way.
Wow. I think he wants Wheezy from the Jeffersons.
I just don't understand it. And then apparently in the NFL, most locker rooms are very, very, very religious. You know, they get into circles. They hold hands. They do prayers before and after games. I've seen competitors on a field in the NFL after a game praying. You've seen that. Competitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players from other teams holding hands. Very peculiar, man. God doesn't give a shit. God doesn't roll dice with the NFL, and that's why Tebow is traded. He doesn't care. The cosmos doesn't care, you know. And meanwhile, they're going to have a big goddamn circus in New York City. Worst move they ever made. Worst move.
I'm just shocked that they would even do that.
Right, I agree with you. I mean, Rex Ryan's a complete idiot. His father was a flaming idiot. His
yes.
brother's a flaming idiot who's the defensive coordinator. And Rex
Good
Ryan
Dallas.
Can't keep his fucking mouth shut. Got 3 years. He keeps calling the shots. He can never call. He's never right. You know, keep your mouth shut. Be humble. Win a Super Bowl. You know? Nope. Big bag. Big tubs of goo. Buddy was like that, too. Their father, you know, never could shut up. You know?
Well, that's what he and Ditka, I mean, you know.
And he didn't that see. That was the rift. That was the. The schism between the
yeah.
two? Yeah.
Two flaming, you know, ego men.
Egomaniacs, right. This town is only big enough for one of them. So Rex is in New York. Worst town to be in for that. Worst town.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. The Tebow is going to get eaten alive by Jets fans.
And the people there. You
right.
know? The crazy New Yorkers. You might have some religious people who are going to embrace him. I'm sure you will, but... there's plenty of Jersey guys going to say, fuck you. But then again, Jersey guys only care about his winning, you know. They just want to win. They want to win something because they have low self-esteem, you know.
So when's the last the Jets were in a Super Bowl, what, three? Is that the last one they were in?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like going on 50 years now.
Right. 69. Wasn't it 69?
Yeah. So yeah. Joe Willie Namath was the last one.
Yeah. I mean, it's 4 years, something like that.
And the Giants, how many did they win? Three or four? Four?
Two with Parcells and two with Coughlin.
That's faux.
Yeah. Because they keep it low, man, the management, the families,
yeah.
you know, the Maras and the Tishes. They're old school guys, you know.
Well, they count the money. They put out just enough to win. The Hallis and the Chicago, same way.
Yeah, we pull out just enough to win every show.
Pull out just enough to win, Milty.
But the Maras are the Rooney era. You know, the Tishes go way back. Showbiz from Lowe's Theaters, they go way back. Mm-hmm. So this is a long pedigree. And Rex Ryan, you know, he's just an internet guy, you know.
But somebody pulled the trigger on the deal is what I'm saying.
I understand that. The Tannenbaum, the GM, you know, they're trying to sell tickets maybe, using them to sell jerseys, tickets.
Jerseys, I'm sure. They could send them anywhere. I'm surprised they didn't send them to the Saints.
You know, I think they're not they're using it for a Wildcat. And then as soon as Sanchez throws a couple of interceptions, man, you're never going to hear the end of it. It's going to be deafening. Tebow, you know.
Dirty Sanchez.
The guy threw, you know, outside of his short passing game, you know, which anybody can throw, screen passes, those little dump-offs, he was probably 40% completion on anything longer than 10 yards.
Right.
You know? But he's got Jesus on his side, man.
Well, the frightening thing is that what's the percentage of people that really believed it, that Jesus was helping his team? I mean, that's frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it's all frightening. Everything we do, you know, in the world, when you get up in the morning, it's frightening. So we got to spend our days suppressing that, those fears. Wow. Jeez, man. I was nowhere near that guy last night. Ugh!
You all right, buddy?
Man, I got a loogie.
Is that the ghost of Tebow haunting you?
Yeah, God. I took his virginity, orally.
Wow, that's not what I needed to hear right now.
It's Tebosity that's lodged in my throat.
Tebosity.
Sorry, fans of the Unshow. Sorry, Tennessee.
Gee, Tennessee.
They used to say sorry, Tennessee, when you couldn't get late-night offerings by Zamfir or Fish-O-Matics they were selling.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people in Tennessee couldn't order them from the 800 number way back in the early 800 number days.
Right.
So they would say, sorry, Tennessee. Isn't that weird?
I never heard that before.
Yeah, now you know.
Now you know the worst of the story.
Yeah, so Tebow's now in the meat grinder of New York City. Talking about meat grinder, just the talk, sports talk there. Can you imagine what that's like?
Yeah, but I'm sure that the league loves this.
You think the league loves it?
I do. Yes. They're talking about the NFL 24/7, 365.
And that the Jets ate half that $5 million?
They must have done. There's a reason for it.
Wow.
Don't you think?
And you know Elway's going, man, I'm glad we got rid of this motherfucker.
We unloaded that pile of shit.
Oh my God, they're glad. They don't want to hear it anymore. That's the inside scoop. They don't want to hear it anymore. The din of the cult of personality is what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's the cult of personality that was driving Elway nuts.
Well, didn't he have that, though? Bronco fans are...
You know, Bronco fans, yeah, but they liked him for reasons. His athletic reasons, his football prowess. They're happy to ship that guy off, man. Now he's back. No, he's not back. Now, where is... No, he would have gone to the Steelers. Now, where is the coach who drafted him?
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, where's Josh McDaniels now? He's not with New York. He's not their coordinator, is he?
No, I thought he went back to New England where he came from.
That's right. New England.
He was one of the Belichick
men
in black. Those dark-hearted bastards.
But look, you're trying to win. Come on.
Yeah, they all are. Yeah.
It's all about winning. So that's what the Jets are hoping to do. And they'll throw him into that third and short, that package, you know. You know, they'll give him that Wildcat.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they'll let it fly, and they'll sell some jerseys until it runs its course.
They'll sell a ton of jerseys. I mean, Favre went there for a year. They sold a ton of jerseys.
That's right. But that's what they've been doing for the last 4 years.
They're in the jersey business. They're in the team business. They're in the clothing business.
I mean, they've been doing a lot of stop gaps. Mm-hmm. You know, stop gaps.
Because the fans want to win now.
You know, having LaDainian Tomlinson, having Brett Favre. Getting guys at the tail end of their careers, you know, to jumpstart them.
That's got to reflect the personality of management and the coach.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, sometimes, you know, your coaches are only good as, you know, defensive coordinators like Rex Ryan was for the you know, Ravens, and they're not meant to be coaches. I just don't think you can be the star of the team with a personality like you have. I don't think that's what the NFL thrives on, or guys who are successful. Even Bill Belichick, who's got a high profile, but it's a low profile because it's so low. You know what I mean? His personality is so anti-flamboyant that the only time you hear about the guy is like listening to the wise man speak before the Super Bowl, before a you know, a press conference, and he keeps his answers short. You know.
Well, don't you think in a situation like that, it's very much like a candidate, a political candidate.
Yeah.
You're basically a figurehead in many ways. Yeah, you make some important decisions at a time, but
yeah.
you look at, you know, your team. I'm a Packer fan, and I see when Ted Thompson was a general manager, he came a very conservative. And he got rid of a lot of veteran players, went really young. They were the youngest team in the league for like 2 or 3 years. They had some rough years, and Favre went 4-12. That was his only losing season. He had one, and he played for, and then they won this. They redid the whole, you know, from the ground up, and now they're a perpetual powerhouse.
Yeah.
The Jets, the stopgap, that never works.
Never works. It never
works. You got to blow it up.
That's right. You got to blow it up and build, and hopefully you got the right front office that can evaluate the right talent and put the right guys together. And that's what the Steelers do. That's what the friggin' Steelers do year after year. You know, they got rid of Santonio Holmes for smoking pot. That's the wrong reason they got rid of him. They got rid of him because he was a bad guy.
Right.
If he was catching 80 passes and 15 touchdowns every year and he smoked pot,
they'd buy him a bag.
That's right. Right. They'd bring his dealer to the games.
Yeah, they give him season tickets.
That's right.
And munchies.
So it wasn't about smoking some weed. He was just had a bad attitude. He goes to the Jets and he shits the bed. He rats everybody out. He rats out Sanchez. He's a bad guy. The Steelers have a bloodhound's nose when it comes for that kind of stuff. And they're not afraid to get rid of people.
I respect the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. I think, you
know,
for a black guy to come into Pittsburgh and just he commanded respect, not because he's black, because he's a good coach.
That's right.
I'm a big fan of that guy. When
he lost
the Super Bowl, I'm a Packer fan, and I watched Tomlin get interviewed. He goes, hey, there's no second chances. There's no consolation prize. We lost, and we're not happy about it. I'm thinking, you know what? I want to shake that guy's hand. I have nothing but respect.
He's been nothing but like that the whole 4 years he's been the coach, man.
But I mean, I have nothing but respect for that guy. I must say a Steeler fan because I like him so much.
Well, the weird part about it is somebody from the Vikings recommended to the Steelers, you got to interview this guy. Interviewed him once, he's our guy.
He is, how can you not?
Right. So, and the guy comes over there, he's low-key, he's business-minded.
He's a mensch.
That's right, he is.
Big respect for that guy.
He calls it the way he sees it. If they shit the bed, they shit the bed. We got a lot of work to do. It was a terrible game. Everybody played bad. We got big problems. We got to rectify for the next game. And it's never a show. It's never about him. And he's very businesslike. And I like him too. You know, I'm not a fan of the Steelers. I'm a suffering Browns fan. You know, I'm not a fanatic.
But the Browns have
never been able to get it together since they came back. They always hired the wrong guy, wrong GMs, and that's why it's a revolving door.
I mean, yes, you cheer for the teams, but I think as you get older, I become a fan of people. You know, whether players, coaches, whatever. And it's even some, like the guy on the Bears, Lovie Smith. I don't have anything against Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a guy trying to make a living. Don't have any ill feelings toward him.
Right. No, I know what you mean. You know, he's a professional guy, man. You know, you look at him, you go, you know, there's never any mishigas with him. You know, he's not out drinking, or he didn't get pulled over for drunk driving, or some kind of ignominious failure in his personality occurs, you know.
And he's feeding his family.
He's successful. You know, they've had a certain amount of success. They're in a Super Bowl. It's tough to win a Super Bowl. It's hard.
It's hard to get there.
And it's hard to repeat.
Really hard to win.
It's certainly hard to repeat. How do you repeat? You know?
I mean, look how tough
it's been for New England to get back there and win another one since the last one.
Yeah.
And they've had powerhouse offensive teams. Powerhouse.
Well, Green Bay, you know, 15-1, they couldn't get back.
I mean, the Giants won a couple in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy with that kind of team. They're 9-7. There's no reason a 9-7 team should win a Super Bowl. When you really think about it, you know. But they peaked.
Yeah.
And Eli Manning's got one more than his brother.
Yes, he does.
And on paper, he's got twice the stats, twice the cachet. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Peyton compared to his brother, you know.
Oh, Peyton's first, obviously first ballot Hall of Famer.
No, what I mean by that is Eli will be in the Hall of Fame too, but he'll have half the numbers.
Yeah.
But winning Super Bowls.
Twice the rings.
That's right. So we'll see when he goes to the Broncos. I think the Broncos made the right move. You know?
Oh, no question about it. You can't tell me that Elway wasn't doing a cartwheel when that
yes,
came about.
Yes, he even said it, man. We had to make the move. I have no doubt in my mind this is the right move.
And yeah, Peyton, but Tebow got it. Tebow said, hey, you're one of the top quarterbacks ever. I see why he did that. I mean,
right,
kudos
right.
to Tebow. He got it.
That's right. They weren't going anywhere with him. He had, you know, for that great run, the last five games, there was a terrible run, 1-4. His stats were terrible. Then they got lucky against the Steelers.
They beat the Bears.
They talked about his terrible mechanics. I mean, he had trouble as a freshman in college. They sent him to this place in Florida. It's called the Biomechanics and Motion Analysis Laboratory. And I know that place because I went there when I was like 14 for masturbation.
Did they give you Tommy John surgery?
No, they told me how to be more efficient in my jerking off.
Yeah, twist the wrist.
Yes. Yeah,
work the balls.
You know, years later, I did have Tommy John surgery on my cock. I did.
They add to your fastball?
Yeah, guys, I'm going in to have Tommy John surgery on my cock, ladies.
Wow.
My cock's got an elbow, ladies. Come on. Yeah, so there's a place there. It's really crazy how you can have businesses based on athletic performance and efficiency and motion. So that's the place in Florida, Biomechanics and Motion Analysis Laboratory. And he went there as a freshman.
And House of Pancakes.
Yes. You know, you go there for the biomechanics and motion analysis, but stay for the salad bar.
eat with your other hand.
So he went there during his tenure in Florida because he used to fling the ball like he was a baseball pitcher for many, 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 many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tebow. And even those passes he threw during the division championship against the Steelers, took a lot of time to set up, you know, those passes. In other words, how they unfolded, so his slow delivery, speed of the delivery wasn't thwarted.
Right.
So, but he still has major problems because he throws like he's throwing a baseball. You know, he's winding up, and you can't wind up. So this is what the Biomechanics and Motion Analysis Laboratory does. It kind of figures out the best, the shortest route between your, cocking of the arm and the releasing of the ball.
And the arming of your cock.
That's right on, brother. That's right. I'll do that, too, if your father's willing to take you down there. And just tell your mother you're going camping with your dad. If you have an open-minded dad, he'll take you to the Biomechanics and Motion Analysis Laboratory.
In the Sandusky wing.
The Sandtown wing, yeah, Sandusky. Yeah, I think the judge needs to dismiss all those charges as the attorney asked for that a couple days ago. Whew. That guy's
seriously?
Got fucking ball, yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe he hasn't taken a bullet yet.
Oh,
seriously.
My God. The latest thing where this police report was released that he was diagnosed as being a pedophile with pedophile tendencies that was put under the pile, man, the bureaucratic pile on the desk. Nobody saw it except for the president. Not the president, the CEO, the CFO, financial officer of Penn State, Schultz. He knew of it. And never did anything about it.
I know nothing.
Right. He took the Schultz defense, Sergeant Schultz.
Wow.
So he claims that he didn't tell anybody. And Joe Paterno said he didn't hear anything about it. Crazy. Crazy. He admitted showering with them, hugging them, kissing them on the top of the head. You know, the usual business, you know. Grooming business. He wanted to have a groomers. And his mother goes, oh, that sounds like a decent business. You know, you'll groom, you know, dogs and...
Do a little dance, make
right.
a little love.
No, young boys, Mom. Young boys. I want to groom young boys.
Not now, Mom.
Like me, man. I almost, you know.
You groom young boys?
No, I used to Simonize young boys when I was young, when I was a teenager. I used to work at, Splash Mountain on the Death Spiral. And I used to simonize young boys before they went down the death spiral at the water park. But people only want to hear sodomize. That's all they want to hear.
Wow. I'm speechless.
You've got mail.
I've got a lot of mails in my in the back of my panel truck. What if it says, you got mails? God, man. You got more.
You can't help it. I mean, it's so disgusting. You can't help but do jokes, but it's horrible, man.
It's horrible. It's horrible that it's still going on.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. If this guy doesn't go down, you know, cop a plea, you know, something. It's got to happen because when these reports come out, there's nothing he can say about it. You're going to have to refute the testimonies of all these young kids who are older adults now, really? You're going to tear them down and prove every one of them was a giant conspiracy to get money from the university? Really? I've heard of get-rich-quick schemes, but this is not something I'd want to say, that I was violated by an adult when I was 10. And that was my plan when I was 10. And now that I'm 20, I'm going to get money now. It was a 10-year plan. You're going to try to tell the jury that's what the plan was? Lunatic.
Well, the lawyer's got to take the case. Just like
I
the
understand
doctor.
He's got to take the case. A cop a plea.
That's
well,
wouldn't that be best? That'd be the gentlemanly thing to do. Not
that's
that you
right.
Thought about that until
look
now.
At this guy and going, oh my God, he's stone cold pedophile. I mean, this guy was easily 3-4 years ahead of Ruth's pace, lifetime pace.
Yeah. It just blows the mind. Blows. I don't, you know, joking about it is one thing, but I just feel bad for all those kids. I can't believe the parents. Some parent hasn't shot him.
Oh, he's in house arrest. I don't know what that means, you know.
It means you can't leave your house.
I mean, somebody hasn't tried to shoot through a window or something, you know, try to get at him. Somebody,
firebomb the house.
You know. And after this is all over, then the civil suits will start flying to the university, man. They got to be making sure they're paying their premiums. That they paid their premiums there, you know, at the university. Because,
right.
You know, they're going to be drained.
Well, yeah, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, well, they know it's going to come, but Sandusky, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's so Greek. The tragedy is so, it's like a Greek, you know, because even one of the major players died 3 months later, Joe Paterno, of lung cancer. You know, it's amazingly a Greek ending to the tragedy. You know,
you can't turn him in though. I don't know if it's Paterno or somebody. When that happens, you turn him in. You call the police.
That's right. You call the police. You drop a dime. And
yes.
And then let.
Sorry, man. If you're dead with little boys, it's that.
Or if you're showering with them, we make the phone call. Fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked
anyway,
up.
On that note, man, we're gonna be taking leave of this show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Check us out on PKNradio.com. We're on at 6:30 Monday through Friday Eastern Time for a half hour every day. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Podomatic. I want to thank my good buddy Dobie as always.
That was the best show we ever did.
Fuck yeah, it was the best show we ever did. And we'll see you all on the other side, folks. You've been great. Bye bye.
Later.
Boom time!